Big Daddy's here. The Retro Soul Podcast, September 10, 2016. You want to ask what Retro Soul is? Well, that's what we're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things as it relates to soul music, as it relates to popular music, and the characters that go along with it. We want you to stay tuned. This is my first podcast. I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to make it do what it do. We'll be right back after this break. The Retro Soul Podcast. The Retro Soul Podcast is back. What you just heard was my instrumental, the instrumental to one of the songs on my debut album, From My Soul to Yours. Doesn't have any words yet because I didn't write any yet. But you get the idea. Anyway, Big Daddy, that's me. I'm back. This is my first podcast, September 10th, 2016. And what we were going to talk about was Retro Soul. What exactly is Retro Soul? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The term is fairly new. I know that there were a couple of groups using it I think before the Neo Soul movement. But in terms of the actual term itself, I think it's pretty new. Retro Soul means retro, going back to a time where soul music was authentic, where soul music was real, where soul music had a meaning, where soul music had great lyrics, simple melodies. You know, it was a time when everything was kind of simple, not with a whole lot of gibberish, you know, that you hear nowadays. And also, what you hear nowadays, you don't even hear melody. I mean, really, there's no real structure to songwriting, per se. I mean, you got your verse, you got your hook, you got your second verse, maybe, maybe not. You got your bridge, you got some kind of transition, you got your hook maybe again, and then you got your outro. You know, now it's like, you know, nowadays it's hook, 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 a slight verse, rap, hook, hook, hook. I mean, it's ridiculous. But before we get into that really heavy, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Born in Washington, D.C., D.C. General Hospital. I'm not going to tell you my age, but, you know, it is what it is. Grew up, was raised in New York City, Harlem, New York, on 118th Street and 8th Avenue. I remember back in the day, I think I was about 7 or 8 years old, I used to dance to James Brown in front of a record store. I think it was called JJ's Record Store on like 120th Street in Harlem. And those are the best times, man. I mean, you get back in those days, they used to have the junkies, the heroin addicts, and, you know, they would be kneeling all the way down, and they would, you know, they would throw me a quarter, 50 cent, something like that. And I would dance, man. I mean, I would be getting all the way down. And have to turn around and give that money to my mama because she wanted a pack of cigarettes. But anyway, that's my humble beginnings. And then I got into, can you believe it, rock music in my teens. My cousin turned me on to a lot of rock acts at the time. And I picked up the drums and I became a professional drummer. And we toured and we traveled all the way pretty much in the DMV area, DC, Maryland, Virginia. And I got exposed to rock music at an early age. But then I never lost my soul roots because I grew up listening to Sam Cooke, Marvin Gaye, Teddy Pendergrass, Luther Vandross, Johnny Taylor, Jerry Butler, Joe Simon. I mean, really deep Southern soul acts. And that's why I kind of took it. I kind of took to that because it was genuine. It was really earthy, really organic. And I kind of took to that. And you know, that kind of brings me to what we want to talk about, what I want to talk about in this podcast, retro soul. Meaning, I think there's a niche for acts today to kind of look into or get into the old soul bag. I think Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, they're definitely doing it. A couple other acts out there doing it, but you know, there's not a whole lot of people getting into that because I guess it's not as popular. But I want to talk about retro soul, what it means to me. I want to talk about not only the music, but the look. Oh man, we could really talk about that in terms of artist development, in terms of media. How do you talk to the people in radio when you're going for an interview? So that's what I want to talk about in this podcast. And a host of other things kind of juxtapose soul music when we're talking about it now as opposed to soul music, what it was back then, and how we can connect the dots and become a successful act. So we're not going to all talk about it in this podcast, but this is my first podcast, so we're going to have plenty more time to talk about those areas. But let's specifically talk now about the retro soul movement. I don't even know if it's a movement, but I'm certainly on board. To me, retro soul, like I mentioned before, is a sound that goes back and that kind of borrows certain elements of songs that were written, I would probably say from the mid-60s to the early 70s. A lot of horns, strings, you know, a lot of boom bap, but certainly a lot of feeling. And, you know, I remember coming up in the soul game, I would guess in the early 90s, and nobody, you know, they thought it was corny to sing Motown, or they thought it was corny to sing James Brown and stuff like that. And now you get 20 million acts right now that are doing Motown tribute stuff. In fact, I'm in a Motown tribute band called A Decade of Soul, and you can hear us each and every Saturday and Sunday at B.B. King's Times Square. Now back to the retro soul thing. Sometimes I in my off time, I would look at videos, and I consider it to be my homework. I look at old Otis Redding videos, old Wilson Pickett videos, and I kind of see what they did, their mastery of the stage. What did they bring across in that act that made them so successful? Because I figure if you want success, you got to see what the masters did. And I think they were the masters of it. Otis Redding, Sam Cooke, Wilson Pickett, and all of these cats, they brought a mastery to the stage that's unparalleled, that you really don't see these days. I mean, you know, I'm not one to say, oh, you know, these young people, they don't know what they're doing. That's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, I like a lot of the groups out here that's doing their thing nowadays. But one thing I can say that they're lacking is that whole thing that Motown was built upon, and that was that finishing school, that kind of thing where they polish you up, make you know how to dress, know how to talk, know how to present yourself, and that's very important. I mean, imagine singing, you know, the soul music of yesteryear with your pants hanging off your ass. You know, it's unbelievable. But I digress. So I would look at these videos and I would say, man, you know, it was, you can tell that it was rehearsed, but it was so cool the way a lot of acts did their thing. They would talk to the audience. They were great storytellers, like my man Bobby Womack. He would tell a story in an act, in his act, and the music and the whole theme was so coincided with what he's talking about. It would be crazy. And so that's what I kind of want to talk about in terms of being successful as an act, that you have to have your stage act down. You have to have your stage act down. Can I say it again? You have to have your stage act down. And I'm not talking about smoking mirrors and 20 dancers behind you and, you know, all kind of smoke. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you, the performer, a tight rhythm section, and you're having the capability to entertain your audience. There's a difference between just standing there and singing, and there's a difference between that and entertaining. Entertaining is when you make crack a joke here and there, you engage the audience, you make them feel good, you make them become a part of the show, not just somebody that's there barking out notes at them for an hour and a half. But anyway, that's what I'm going to leave this conversation right now. The next podcast, I'd like to talk about the finishing school of Motown and how that particular school and that particular thing that they did made some of the greatest artists that ever was, and how we can do that now in 2016 with a lot of these artists. But anyway, my name is Big Daddy. This is the Retro Soul Podcast. Make sure you download it on iTunes or wherever I have it. Support a brother, support retro soul music, because baby, I'm telling you something, it's coming back. Once again, my name is Big Daddy. This is the Retro Soul Podcast, and I am out of here.